for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 29th, 2005. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill of Monterey, Virginia, is the minister on this tape. Thing on, and I'll go turn the recorders on, and we'll give you the rest of the night. Let's see, you have to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, so you have from now to 8 o'clock.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Darlene and I have just, we've just fallen in love with the whole bunch of you. We've met a lot of you, some of you just briefly and others a little bit more. But, you know, all things in their time, right? And it's just been a real pleasure and a real blessing to be here. We're honored. We really are honored. And here the last night of the conference.
It will not be 16 years again.
Okay. Okay.
Myself.
Well, the Lord already told us that. We agree. You know. But anyway, it's our honor because I'm amazed at just the level of understanding and knowledge that the men and women who have spoken here this week have, and it's an honor for me, quite a privilege, it's humbling to come up here and follow these people. The teaching that we've received in the mornings or in the afternoons from Dr. Null has just been, I just can't even put words to it. I just feel like, you know, gosh, how does he retain all that stuff? You know? And Lord, if I live 100 years, will I retain it? You know? And this, just the fire of Sister Cheryl, and I mean, my goodness, she's a fire-breathing dragon. But she's not a dragon. That's a bad thing. What can we say? What can we... She's a fire-breathing sweet thing. Oh, I tell you what. We're just so blessed by so many. And just talking to you guys, you know, just even though you know, you haven't been speaking, just talking with you, I know you have things to say. And the whole purpose of our being here, Darlene and I have discussed this, is we're not really coming in here to teach you anything. We're just coming in here to encourage. Now, that's one thing we do have a gift to do. You know, I can't go into the depths of all of the stuff that Dr. Null was teaching. And Jacob and I were talking, we got to get all that stuff. He's got to get all that stuff in books so we can read it over and over and over again and figure it all out. I mean, we figure it out, but retaining it is the thing. But then we got to remember he's got a doctor's brain. All that medical terminology. Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying, though, don't you? And I tell you, and I what an honor to meet Brother Humbard. And you know, let me tell you, back where we live, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knows us. Nobody knows where we are, and nobody much cares. You talk about the little people in the little places, the little forgotten out of the way places. That's where we are. Like I've told you, we're an hour and a half away from the nearest Walmart. And to get to that, you have to go over 4 mountains. And you don't just go whoop like that. These mountains just... People who come from the flatlands, when they're coming over our mountains to get into our little Shangri-La, our little heaven on earth, when they're coming over those mountains, people who aren't used to the mountains are peeking over these embankments just hoping that the driver doesn't take them over that thing. You know, Monterey is what we call Monterey, the town we have our church in. We live outside of Monterey on a beautiful farm, absolutely beautiful, some of the prettiest country in the United States of America. But Monterey, I call it the jewel of the Appalachians. It is the most beautiful, quaint little town that you'd ever want to see. Surrounded by beautiful mountains, rolling pastures, sheep on the pastures and in the meadows, cattle, Black Angus cattle everywhere you look, deer herds, flocks of turkeys. I mean, this place is, you know, bluebirds everywhere, flowers. I want to tell you, it is, and the open heaven.
Amen.
That has been created there by the intercessors. We are an intercessory ministry, have been for years, and spiritual warfare. And we have people come from all over the United States and the world who, when they get there, they say, it is so easy to pray here. It is so easy to study here. It's so easy to get refreshed here. There's just a thin spot above this place. And there is. The brass heavens have been moved out of the way, and God shines down. And yet most people don't even know it exists. And we haven't been privileged to get out and meet very many people. I don't know. I know everybody from books and magazines and television and, you know, I know all the big ministries. I watched Brother Rex being interviewed by, I guess it was Benny just a couple weeks ago. Okay. And I had no idea that when I got here I would meet his brother. And, I, what a privilege to meet, not for Rex's sake, but for Clement's sake. You know, I'm going to risk saying something that I don't want to say anything that to offend anybody, but often the person that is the most famous has a brother who carries an anointing. And I don't understand why sometimes, but I know Sam Hinn. The anointing on Sam Hinn. I mean, everybody makes a big deal over Benny, and Benny's a wonderful man. We love Benny, but Sam Hinn, my goodness, what a pastor that man is. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying. It has been an honor to sit under older men of God who have been out on the battlefield for years. And, I mean, and glean from them. And from Glenn, who's been, it's like Patty said, when he started this place, he was the age I am right now. And you had never ministered behind the pulpit. These men are pioneers in the faith. These are pioneers, and they're at the time in their lives now where they're beginning to pass the torch. This doesn't mean that they're going to stop running the race. Well, what's happening with you guys is, you know, in a relay race, when you pass the torch or the baton, you run along with your guy for a while. And I believe that this generation, these men and their generation, they're beginning to hand the mantle, drop the mantle off, pass the torch, pass the baton to some of us 40 and 50 some year olds, and you need to run along with us for quite a few more years. And I believe that's what you guys are going to do. We were talking, Brother Noel, about the stuff that the Lord has shown you through the years about deliverance. And there are very few places on earth where this kind of stuff is coming forth. That's the purpose. That has been the purpose for this ministry. And because you can't go to most places anywhere and get this. And it's just not right for a man and men like you guys, it's not right for you guys to achieve the level of knowledge and understanding and experience that you've achieved over the last 70, 80 some years. And then die with it. I think that God's desire is that now you come into the prime of your ministry. I think we've been shortchanged by the devil to see men dropping off the face of the earth at 70 some years of age, or if by reason of strength 80. That's only a lamentation. Moses is lamenting the fact that God's people are dying at 70 and 80. They should be going on to 120 and beyond, and just believing for whatever they can get. And I think that it's a shame when someone finally gets that level of knowledge and that to that depth of knowledge and anointing. The anointing is so thick and heavy on people like this. And then they leave. And then all of us younger folks, we have to start working hard to get where they got by the time we're their age. And I think that's changing. I really do. I think that that's going to change. I believe that you guys are going to be with us many more years to help us. And because you got the wisdom that we don't have. You got the understanding that we don't have. You got the experience that we don't have. And we're, you know, we're grateful for that, aren't we, everybody? And that's... I could preach on that, and there's scriptures that I have on that just blow my mind. For instance, Elihu, who finally went to Job's three friends who weren't saying much anything, and said, "Look, you know, I kept my peace. I kept my mouth shut because I figured, well, age should speak, you know, and men of age ought to have wisdom and know what to say. But you guys really have missed it." And so Elihu steps forward, and I'm paraphrasing greatly, but he steps forward and he says, "You know, it's the Spirit of the Lord that gives inspiration. Doesn't matter how old you are. Old men should have wisdom. Old men should have wisdom and counsel for the younger generations." Sadly, we live in a society where most old men and women don't have it. But thank God when we find men and women who do. And there are men and women in this room, and I'm not just talking about those who have spoken this week. I'm talking about men and women that I've met you're in here, you're not one of the speakers, but I guarantee I could send my sons to you and I could say, go talk to him and he'll give you godly counsel and advice.
Amen.
Go talk to her. She can give you the counsel and advice you need. Because you've lived it. You've learned it. And we need you around a lot longer.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And I want to be that kind of person when I'm old and gray-headed. I'm gray-headed already. Not that old. But I don't even like to use that word old. Mature. That's better. Mature. Mature. However you want to say it. Just don't say manure. Okay. Well, I honor you guys, all of you. We love you. And yes, we will be back if we're invited. You know, how often, I'm not sure. We've got, like I said, we've got a lot of ministry going on. I oversee churches in the Appalachian Mountains. And I help oversee churches in other places. Working with a team out of Indiana under White Horse Christian Center. An apostolic brother named Jeff Johns. Very close to us, very dear to us. He's taking the nations with the gospel. And we're involved in that ministry as well with a ministry in Guadalajara, Mexico, under an apostolic brother named Jorge Gutierrez. And we're very busy in Manzanillo and Guadalajara and Tepic. And that is expanding because my book, Warriors by Blood, is being translated now into Spanish. Universal Spanish. So it's not going to be just limited to the Mexican dialects. It's going to be something that Spanish-speaking people can read from anywhere in the world. Pray for that, please. And so we're busy. We're excited. But I think we're going to be able to find room on our calendar for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. We're excited. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that just to encourage you, because that's what my primary goal is I'm an encourager, I'm an exhorter, and I just like, God gives me messages and gives me outlines and gives me books that are saying the same things that have been said before, but maybe with a little bit of different twist on it that helps somebody get it who maybe didn't get it from this man. And so, this is a deliverance camp, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what I mentioned the first night I spoke, and that was about avenues of invasion. And I got that phrase, avenues of invasion, out of a Civil War book that talked about the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia being an avenue of invasion through which the Confederate Army was able to launch attacks into the North, or the Northern Army was able to launch attacks into the South. The Shenandoah Valley was called the breadbasket of the South. It was crucial ground. It was crucial. It was vital. And both North and South wanted it. And so, as I was reading, that phrase, avenues of invasion, kept jumping off that book to me. And I began to talk to the Lord about it. And He began to say, the enemy is looking for avenues of invasion into your life. And Dr. Null has covered them all, so many of them anyway, very completely. So I don't want to belabor this part. But maybe this will help some of you put it in other terms so you'll be on your guard. The Bible says that our adversary says, be sober and be watchful, vigilant. I never tell somebody when I'm saying bye to them, I never say, take care. No, I don't want to take care. You take it. I don't want to take it. Jesus told me to roll my care over on Him. But what I do like to say is, be vigilant. Now, that's scriptural. Be watchful. Be sober. Be vigilant. They look at me like a calf at a new gate. They don't understand biblical talk. But that is biblical. Be vigilant. Be watchful till the next time we meet again. Stay on your toes. Keep a clear eye. Amen? Keep a clear eye. There's an enemy out there that hates your guts. And he's going to do everything he can to find an entry point into your life and invade your life with all of his garbage. And that's what I want to tell you, some of the entry points. But let me read something to you that the Lord gave me. He said, when an invading army enters the domain of its enemy, it begins pillaging, subduing, and dominating as much ground and as many people as possible. Following invasion and subjugation, strongholds are easily erected. Now, the lifelong goal, applying this spiritually, the lifelong goal of every Christian should be to maintain his own borders and keep entry points from being offered to the enemy. Now, that's just basically saying the same thing that we've heard all this week, but just in different terms. I'm putting it in military terms. That helps some of us get it. Demons probe the borders of our lives, seeking entry points through which they can enter and create avenues of invasion into every region of our being, our mind, our emotions, our will, our bodies, our finances, our families, our communities. That's what they're out to do. But they are probing. You don't have to let them in. We've been getting deliverance this week from those that have probed in the past and got in. But now, build up the sandbag those breaches in your spirit. Sandbag the breaches in that wall, that hedge of protection around your life. If there's a weak point, if there's been a broken down point where they came through before, sandbag that thing with Scripture. Sandbag that thing with worship and praise. Sandbag that thing with obedience. Prompt obedience to God. Sandbag those weak spots, those entry points. And build up that wall so they can't get through there again. Amen? This is what the Lord wants. Now, if we don't... Now, you know the Scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that he who breaketh a hedge, a serpent will bite him. So you can break down your own hedge better than anybody else. And that's what we want to do, is we want to build up that hedge and keep that entry point from being offered to the devil again. Some of you got delivered from some awesome things in here today. I mean, I heard those things coming out, gagging, coughing, squealing, yawning. I even had one escape on me. I just yawned, and I thought, oh, that was interesting. And Dr. Null was looking me right in the eye when it happened. I don't know if he noticed it. Something he was getting over the whole bunch of us, I just kind of went, well, praise the Lord. There, that thing left. Because they'll come out in all sorts of ways, don't they? But anyway, I want my wall to be sound. I want it to be strong. I want it to be complete. And it's my responsibility, not yours, but my responsibility to keep it intact. Now, once these avenues are created, if we give him an entry point, if we give the demons entry points, once they're created, the dark kingdom can send every vile, hurtful thing into our lives, enforcing his strongholds. What are some of the entry points that he seeks? What are the entry points which help establish his avenues of invasion? That's what I want to answer. Now, God's funny the way he deals with me about things to help me understand and grasp. The word invasion ends with what four letters? S-I-O-N. Okay? S-I-O-N. It's funny that the Lord gave me these entry points, and all of them have a shun sound at the end of the word. And I just want to give them to you. He just did that. You could say it with other words, but this is the way he gave it to me. Indecision creates an entry point through which the enemy can invade our lives. Indecision. And I'm going to go through this whole list, and then I'm going to come back to indecision and finish up tonight, and I'm going to stay on that one because that is the key entry point, I believe, in the lives of most Christians. They're too indecisive. They don't decide they're going to have the life of God in more abundance. They don't decide they're going to stand alert and vigilant against the forces of darkness. They don't decide that their lives are going to be counted for something in the kingdom of God. They don't decide. They're too irresolute. They're too hesitating. There's a scripture in James that talks about the double-minded man. And if you go to the Amplified Bible, it says he's irresolute and he's hesitating and he's dubious. If you're hesitating and you're on the line on a football field, you're a lineman. When that ball snaps, if you hesitate, that big boy across the line from you is going to knock you on your rear end.
That's right.
And I want to tell you, there's a big boy across from us named the devil, and he's got a host of demons, and if you hesitate in life, they're going to run all over you. And it pains me to see so many of my fellow human beings being knocked on their can by the enemy. You know, and so my job is to stir them up and encourage them. You can get in the fight. You can win. You need to get mad dog mean when the devil comes your way. I want to tell you, there have been times when the devil's come at me and I've recognized it. And I've gotten over into an area that if you didn't know I was in the Spirit and didn't understand the Spirit, you'd say I was in pride. But you've got to be in the Spirit when you do this. But there have been times when I've said, come on, devil, manifest! I'll knock your lights out. How many of you believe that there's certain places in the earth that are like contacting points? Where you can walk into that area and you can almost touch the spiritual realm? There are. There was one down the road from my house. There was one. Usually these places, if you can touch the spirit and it's the demonic realm, often something tragic happened in that place. There are such things as haunted houses. They're not haunted by the disembodied spirits of human beings, because you're either in heaven or hell. But they're disembodied spirits. Demons are there, and usually they're there because they have a right to be there. They're there because something happened there. Well, down the road from our house, I go out praying at night, and I'll walk sometimes for miles. But there's one place down the road where the woods, big forest, where the woods come right down to the road. Usually it's pastures and meadows that come down to the road. But this is where the woods come down to the road. And for years, when I'd be walking down the road in the middle of the night, or could be anywhere from 8 o'clock in the evening to 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking down that road, and there was this one particular spot where I didn't see it with these eyes, but I could literally feel this spirit come running off that bank, off that hill, out of those woods. And he would come down, or it would come down, into the road in front of me and challenge me. And the hair on the back of my neck would stand up, goosebumps would run up and down my body. But because I was taught very well the authority of the believer by Kenneth Copeland many years ago, I loved it. I rather than go, oh, I love a challenge. I love that challenge. When that angel, probably a skinny angel, when he comes down and he grabs that old serpent, the devil, and he wraps him up with that chain to throw him in the bottomless pit, I want to be right there helping him. I want to say, let me wrap his neck up. Let me get that chain around his neck. You know, let me do something. For all the pain and I watched my mother die of cancer. It was hideous. I watched my brother-in-law die of cancer. It was hideous. I want to see, and I've watched other people die of cancer, and it's never been pretty. I want to somehow help get even with that devil for all the pain he's brought the loved ones and the friends in my life. Now, you might say, well, that's a bad attitude to have. Well, pray for me. But there's something about me. I know vengeance belongs to the Lord, but I want to watch it happen. At least I think I do. Maybe it'll be too hideous. I don't think I'll feel sorry for the devil when that happens. He hadn't felt sorry for anybody I loved. He certainly hadn't felt sorry for me. He hasn't felt sorry at all, so heck with him. Amen? Somebody says, oh, you don't want the devil to hear you talking that way. That's just the dude I want to hear talking that way. See, that's the problem. Too many have been too indecisive. And he'll use your indecisiveness to just run all over you. So anyway, I go down the road. I used to go down the road, and that thing would run off the bank in front of me and stand there in the road. And I got to where sometimes, this is funny, sometimes when I started feeling dry and unspiritual, I deliberately go down there. Because, I mean, I wanted to feel something. I don't care if it's the devil. Sometimes I'm not feeling God. I'll go down there just, come on, devil. Because I guarantee after I confront him or he confronts me, I'm feeling God again. So one night, this is about 3 years ago. My youngest son, Jakin, who's now a part of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri, he learned about that when he was a teenager, and so he started going down there. So instead of the devil scaring us, I think we were having more fun with him. But one day, I was down there. I went down there praying in the middle of the night, and I felt like, all right, this is enough. And so I went down there, and he didn't come off that bank. Oh, incidentally, in the process of time, I learned that there used to be, up on that hill, back in the late 1800s, there was a sawmill. And people had worked up there, and there very likely had been a tragedy. That's what I just felt like the Lord told me. And that's probably why that thing was there. Maybe not. But anyway, I knew it was there for whatever reason. So one night I was down there, and it didn't come off the bank. And so I prayed. I walked around in the road praying in the Spirit and just worshiping the Lord. That's what I do. That's the majority of my prayer time is just worshiping the Lord. Just telling Him I'm there for who He is, not for what He can do. Just loving on Him, you know? And just rubbing hearts with Jesus. And as I started back up the road, and you have to go up a hill, it's a steady climb, not real steep, but steady climb back to my house, which was about a mile away. It came off the bank. And I knew, I could feel it hit the road behind me. And by then I was halfway up out of that region, that contacting place. And the Lord said, go back in there and deal with Him once and for all. You've played with Him long enough. So I charged. Now, I evidently, this thing knew what I was coming back there to do. I charged back down that road in the dark. And the closer I got to where I always encountered this Spirit, the closer I got, the more fear tried to crawl all over me. Finally, I got right down there, and I stuck my finger in His invisible face, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave this place. Who do you think you're standing against? I command you to leave these grounds. I command you to leave this region. I command you to leave my county. I command you to leave this state in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And at that very moment, I don't know if anybody in here ever saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ. There's a scene in the Garden of Gethsemane at the beginning of that movie where I think it's just before Jesus stomps on the snake. You hear this ungodly screech. Sounds like a bird of prey, but it's more spiritual. So whoever put that in the movie has heard this, because that's the exact thing I heard that night on the road. When I made that command, I heard up in the trees right up here the most ungodly screech I've ever heard in my life. And I live out there. I hear buzzards, I hear hawks, I hear eagles, I hear owls. It was none of those. It was the most ungodly screech I've ever heard in my life. And you know that thing left, and that thing has never been back. I walk down there now, you know, my son went down there to check it out after I told him about it. He said, there's nothing down there anymore, Dad. It's no fun to go down there anymore. But if you want to experience the supernatural, all you have to do is go in my barn. I call it the glory barn. Because whenever you go in there, you feel the angels of the Lord. There's been so much prayer that has gone up in there and worship at night that you go down there and the angels, the presence of the angels, they just meet you there. So that's my contacting place. That's a whole lot better than that other place. But if I ever run into places like that again, I'm not afraid of them. Because I know greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. So I don't know why I said all that under indecision, but you better be resolute and you better be decisive if you want to walk in victory over the devil. Number two, another entry point is deception. This is manifest in several ways. Number one, it can be just lying to yourself, deceiving yourself, believing you're something you're not. A lot of people in the body of Christ, Jim, he touched on it last night. Guys that go around calling themselves prophets and apostles. And I had a man come to my church one time and he said, I'm an apostle. And I said, well, whoopee-doo. No, I wasn't that mean. Not right off the bat. But I did say, brother, you're an apostle, huh? And he said, yeah, I'm an apostle. I said, what church do you come out of? Well, I don't have a church. I said, oh. I said, how many churches have you planted? You got some churches you've planted? No, I don't. I said, are you connected to anybody? No, but I'm an apostle. I just want to say, your ignorance gone to seed is what you are. Paul. Yeah. No, he didn't. I didn't ask him for it. I'm sure he'd have had it if I'd asked. But you know what Paul said? He said, he talking to the Corinthians, he said, "You are the seal of mine apostleship." That means that you're the open attestation that I'm what I am. I came here, I started this church, I laid its foundation, I built its walls, I sat in leadership, I got you saved, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, established, and now I've left you and you're operating on your own. Now that's the seal of Paul's apostleship. There are a lot of flakes running around the body of Christ claiming to be something they're not. They've let deception in through their own deception. They're believing a lie about themselves. They believe a lie about others because they're deceived. They'll believe a lie about a good man. They'll believe a lie about a good woman, a good ministry, because they themselves are deceived. They've accepted demons of deception. They cheat, and they don't see anything wrong with it. They're stealing. They are hypocrites. You know what hypocrisy is? Is living a lie, and they're deluded. Delusion is believing a lie. Now, this can happen to any one of us. We've got to watch that we don't allow the entry point of deception to be offered to the enemy. Because he'll come rushing through that entry point and create an avenue of invasion into our lives. Another, shun. I said all of these end with the shun sound, either S-I-O-N or T-I-O-N, is trepidation. This is manifested fear. This is worry, anxiety, dread, intimidation, allowing manipulation and domination by men or devils. Trepidation. That's an entry point. Watch out for fear. Don't allow fear to have place in your life, because if you yield to it, all of these entry points that I'm listing, if you yield to them long enough, they offer a handle to a demon. And then they themselves will become a demon. A demon that enforces that will come in because of that, and you're going to be eaten up with fear, deception, indecision. I mean, I run into people all the time that just don't know what to do, don't know where to go, can't make up their minds about anything. They got a demon. It's no longer just an entry point that something came through. They've actually got a demon of indecision. All right, another one is circumcision. Now, what I mean by circumcision is, and you already know, it's talking about legalism, primarily. The circumcision in the New Testament was were those who were trying to put the Christians back under law. You got to do everything. If you don't add up, God won't accept you. But grace replaced the law. We are accepted by Jesus Christ, by the Father, because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? We're accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of the Lamb. And that doesn't mean we don't need to watch ourselves. We've got to watch our P's and Q's. Not to earn right standing with God, but to keep our deliverance. But there are people out there that feel like they've got to do enough good works and do everything perfectly, dot all the I's and cross all the T's, or God won't love them. And there are a lot of them out there that have that entry point of the law or circumcision in their lives. That's just the word that I found with S-I-O-N that would cover legalism. And these people are usually the most joyless Christians I've ever seen, if they're Christians at all. There's no joy. They don't know how to be laid back and enjoy the process. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the process. I know I've got a ways to go, but I thank God for the distance I've come. I'm enjoying the process. It's fun being a Christian. It's fun being around people. I get a big kick out of some of you all. I love people. I just love to watch people. I get the biggest kick. I have more fun. I got the biggest kick out of your preaching yesterday. My daughter imitates you and she doesn't even know it. And she's a white girl. But she comes up to me and she says, "What are you saying, Dad?" And you preach with that you just got it, sister. And I love it. That's who you are. I love it. And I love sitting over here. I love sitting right here listening to all the other speakers and looking over there. and seeing Dad here with his eyes shut, and I can't tell if he's sleeping. He says he's not sleeping. I believe him. Or meditating, right? He's got...
Not a wink. I'm storing it up.
He's storing it up. I get a kick out of that. I get such a kick out of watching Dr. Null. Peeling those eyes around. Her. Fire. 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 That woman's got fire. She's wearing red tonight because she's on fire on the inside. I tell you, there's a blazing fire in her 97-year-old heart. Her physical heart's 97, but you know, her spirit's, I think, about 27. I mean, I know 27-year-old ladies that are a lot older than she is. They act like it. And I get the biggest kick out of watching her just get going and I think, oh Lord, let me be that way when I'm her age. Let me be that excited. Yeah. Praise God. So what I'm saying is I enjoy people. I get the biggest kick out of watching people. Darlene and I have always observed people and loved them, and we love their differences. We love the variety God's put in the body of Christ. It's fun. It is. It's like I told you, sometimes I know God's got a sense of humor, because every morning when I look in the mirror, I know He's got a sense of humor. Amen. All right. Another entry point, divination. Well, you know what that is. You know what that would cover. Every form of mystical, occultic belief, practice, or activity. And that's, this country at this present time is loaded with this. And I'm not going to go break it all down to what it means, because that's been done here many times before. There are books on it. But divination is an entry point through which the enemy builds avenues of invasion into people's lives. And it's not just the practices. It's also having in your home and in your possession the accursed thing. And you know what Deuteronomy has to say about that. Don't bring the accursed thing into your house lest you be cursed like it. And don't value the gold and the silver that's on it. Doesn't matter if it costs you. Let me tell you a story. I think I got this in the book that's coming out this week from Bill Banks. My new book is called The Strong Hand of the Lord. It's blessing, it's power, and it's fury. And there's a story in there. Our mom and dad in the things of deliverance were Hal and Helen Wallace. And Helen died in 89, and I missed her funeral to come here in 89. But she was my mother in the faith. Her husband, Hal, lived to be, he lived up into 91, I believe. But they told the story of a woman that came to their house for deliverance, and people would come from all over the United States to get deliverance. They were trained by Don Basham and Derek Prince. And really big in full gospel back in Shenandoah Valley, Virginia, years ago. And so they were trained by them, and they had this woman come to their house for deliverance, and she had cancer. And in pre-deliverance counseling, they discovered that this woman had a Buddha in her house that she had picked up in her travels in the Far East. And she'd spent a lot of money for that Buddha. And they told her, well, on good faith, we're going to go ahead and minister deliverance to you so that when you go home, you're going to get rid of that thing. You're going to destroy that thing. And she said, I'll do it. I'll do it. So when they cast out the demon, she was healed of cancer. She left their house healed of cancer and then drove 3 or 4 states away back to her home. And when they checked up on her about a week later, they asked her about that Buddha. And she said, well, I got home and I got to thinking about it, and I don't think that I really need to destroy it because I spent a lot of money for that thing, and it's a beautiful piece of art. She got cancer again within the next 6 months and died quickly. So that's an example. You got to get the accursed thing out of your house. If you don't, if you fool around with it, anything that has been in any way, shape, or form connected with idol worship, false gods, it's got a demon with it. And you need to really judge that stuff. Really look and examine. And you know that. But this is for the tape. Okay? Another entry point is fornication. You know that. Every form of deviant sexual behavior not sanctioned by Scripture can become an entry point into your life through which the enemy will come and create an avenue of invasion. Brother Jim talked about this last night. The next one is insubordination. Insubordination. This is rebellion in or out of a chain of command. There are a lot of people that can't be actively or visibly insubordinate because they're not a part of anything to be insubordinate to. But that doesn't give them any excuses. And then there are a lot of people who are a part of churches, who are working for companies, who are part of the army or part... It doesn't matter if it's just church. It can be any place where there's somebody over you. It can be a wife not submitted to her husband, children not submitted to their parents, an employee not submitted to the employer, people in the church not submitted to their pastor, elders not submitted to the senior pastor. I mean, you name any number of things. Or people who work with an apostolic ministry and they've got a bad insubordinate attitude towards the apostle over that move or over that team of people that are working. It's everywhere. And insubordination will create an entry point. And as we saw and heard last night, it will create an entry point through which the enemy will come and create an avenue of invasion. And once an avenue of invasion is created in one's life, then all the baggage begins to come. Then the wagon trains full of stuff begins to pour in through that breach, and then comes every vile thing you can think of. And that's what's wrong with this nation. We got people that are just filled with things because they created these entry points for and avenues of invasion. Isolation can be included in this. You know the scripture in Proverbs that talks about that he who isolates himself seeks his own desire, right? Breaks out against all good and wise counsel. Well, that's stupid. We need to be apart. We need to be connected. You need to be connected to a bigger, a larger body. You need to be a part of a church, a local church. And in that local church, you also need to be connected to your own tight 360. How many military men do we have in here? All right, a tight 360. You know what that is? I've got a picture hanging on my wall in my office of five special forces men. You know, they got the camouflage on and everything, and they're hunkered down in the jungle somewhere, and they got their machine guns ready, and they're in a tight 360-degree circle, back-to-back, crouched, watching each other's back, watching for the enemy to come from any direction. Man, that paints a picture to me, being a military-minded guy like I am. I've got a tight 360. Back home, I've got a church. They love me, and they pray for me. At least most of them do. The ones who don't usually leave. And I'm like T.D. Jakes. I thank them when they come, and I thank God when they go. I thank God when they come, and I thank God when they go. I tell them all the time, I'm not here to try to gather everybody under my oversight. I only want those who God is sending. I mean, even David in the wilderness knew that when they began to defect from Saul, the old order, the old religious order, and come over to the new order that God was building in the wilderness. When the Benjaminites, or that's how you say it, came over there, David went out and he said, "Hey, wait a minute, guys. Are you come here to betray me to my enemies, or are you really here to help me?" And one of them, named, I think, Amasai or something like that, stepped forward and he said, "David, we're yours." He didn't say, "Well, we're God's and we're going to only do what God says to do, and we'll be here to help you as long as God tells us to." And you know, no, he said, "We're yours." Oh, what a commitment under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know. You better know that when you go and become a part of another man's work, you are there to serve him. And in God's eyes, you belong to that man. And as you honor that man, you're honoring God. A lot of people in the body of Christ don't like that, particularly us vagabond, freewheeling American Christians. So we can't be isolationists. Amen. We've got to be connected. We've got to be marching in lockstep on basic issues. Now, that doesn't take away variety. That doesn't take away your ingenuity and your special gift. That doesn't take away your special opportunities. In fact, we release people. People we know and trust and we've trained and we can trust, we release them to go and represent us. And we don't tell them that you can only have a ministry that's under us. Go and be your own ministry, but if you're part of our church, be a part of it. Be a part of it. And then we bless you to go and do whatever God tells you to do. See, I think it's bad leadership to only impose your vision down on the people. A good leader recognizes the visions that various people in his congregation has, and he encourages their vision, and he works with them to see how it ties into the overall vision of their church. But they don't stifle individual visions, they enhance them. See, we have a vision at Word of Faith Church and Revival Center. We have an awesome vision for taking the Appalachian Mountains and beyond for Jesus. And we're getting heavily involved in all of that. But we have people in our church that, man, they don't have to look like me, sound like me. They don't have to go and sing all the same songs we sing and preach all the same messages we preach and wear the same shirts I wear. And I've seen too much cloning in the body of Christ. And frankly, it nauseates me. You go to some conferences and all the pastors look like the big shots on the stage. They got they've got their tie tied up and they got that bar underneath the tie knot and they all have the same type of shirts and they sound alike. Good Lord, they sound alike. The thing I like about here is I don't sound like Dr. Null. Or should I say he doesn't sound like me? That might be best. We're all different. I appreciate the variety and the diversity in the body of Christ. But we have to be together in basic Christian doctrine. Amen? And we need to move together as a whole army. Praise God. There are people who are, I believe, actually, in the military, 9 out of 10 soldiers are behind the scenes. They're the support people. Combat support. That 1%, they're the teeth and the claws of the military. What you see in Iraq is not all there is in the United States Army. That's 1/10. The other 9% or whatever, or 90%, they're behind the scenes making it possible for the teeth and the claws to do the work on the enemy. I'm out here right now, I'm the teeth and the claws. I've got a whole church back there been praying for me this whole week. Praying for Darlene this whole week. We're combat arms. They're combat support. And as blessed as we are who accomplish things out on the front, they get a share of the spoils. Amen? That's what David said. That's awesome. I love it. So let's make sure that we don't allow the enemy through insubordination. Then there's ambition. We just see this all the time in the body of Christ. People have their own secret, self-serving ambition. And this speaks of an unreasonable and reckless need, demanding fulfillment. A drivenness, as it were, for success, for wealth, for power, or for recognition and reputation. There's a lot of ministry upstarts out there that want recognition and reputation. They want to be counted one of the big shots.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there.